pray for those listening today that if there is someone this message touches, their life will be changed. In Christ's name I pray.
Amen.
It was turned off. I'm sorry. So the title is Our Loving Redeemer. All over the world, Christians are known for being thankful. The Marxist government in Cuba has in the past made fun of Christians. They've called them hallelujah people, hallelujahs. That's a hallelujah. Teasing them because they don't seem to be upset when they face difficult times, when they face trauma or tragedy. They constantly bounce back. They have joy in the midst of trial. That is not the first time followers of Christ have been mistreated around the world. In fact, throughout the world, they are often second-class citizens. In some countries, they cannot go into universities if you say you're a Christian. In some countries, you are discriminated against if you say that you're a Christian. We're persecuted in many nations, even if we are good citizens and tell the truth. We can be thankful as Christians in any kind of situation. And in truth, we are hallelujah people because we can say praise the Lord and be thankful in times of victory and in times of sadness. Our thankfulness, our joy, sometimes has tears. Sometimes tears of joy, sometimes tears of sadness. And that is proven the most when it comes to death of loved ones. Because as Christians, we believe that there is hope and life after death. Death for a Christian may be a sad thing, but it's not the end. There is future for us. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So, for these young, new Christians that have committed their life to Christ, that have been baptized, please understand that you may face difficult times in life. There may be challenges to your faith. But you can be thankful people through it all. You can have the joy of God in the midst of the most difficult times of life. We're going to be reading from the little book of Ruth in the Old Testament this morning. It's a beautiful story. When we read it, it tells the story of a family that immigrated, that went to another country, and tragedy hit. And after that tragedy, God intervened into the life of a person. In fact, Ruth is one of two books in the Old Testament that is named for a female. What's the other one? Esther. The book of Esther. And the events in Ruth are taking place at the same time as events in another book called the Judges. And the Judges is a book that reflects a very difficult time in the history of the people of God. It marked apostasy. The people of God were turning away from God. There was violence. There was adoption of sexual sin from the surrounding peoples. There was compromise. And we see much of that in churches in the Western world today, especially, where our culture in many ways has begun to reject the creation of male and female. I was reading recently that there's a young student in at the University of Berkeley, who was on a campus organization, and there was a vote to recognize the fact that there are 60 different genders. And this young woman said, "I don't vote for this." She's a Christian woman at the University of Berkeley. And she said, "I believe God created male and female." And she is in big trouble today. Well, let me tell you, we are in a very difficult time in the West because the creation of God is being challenged in many areas, especially when it comes to the identity of a male and a female. In the time of the judges, people taught sinful ways. Religious institutions and educational institutions adopted these ways. Adultery was okay. Sexual evils was okay. Idolatry, worshiping other gods, was okay. Pride, gossip, cheating the poor, taking advantage of the innocent, all of these took place during the times of the judges. People denied the story of God also. There were people that were raised as believers in the one true God, and they began to doubt and reject the idea that there was one true God. In fact, they begin to say, "There are many roads to God. There are many gods. All are equal. Just grab one or two or three, and you're good." Today, if you say there is only one God, you will offend someone. Today, if you proclaim that Jesus is the way, you will make someone unhappy with you because they consider you to be dogmatic. But Jesus himself said this. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In Judges chapter 2, verse 12, this is the environment that was taking place. And I want us to understand that when you compare the book of Judges with Ruth, there's a difference. Judges really focuses on the violence, the terror, the breaking apart of culture, the breaking apart of traditions. But Ruth is very peaceful. It's a wonderful, beautiful book, a testimony of faith, a testimony of faithfulness. And so we can contrast these two books when we look at this part of the scripture. But this is what 2 Judges chapter 2 says in verse 12. "They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger." Ruth is written during this time. And it was a time where there were terrors taking place. And the Jewish people were mixing with other groups, which was considered, according to the Jewish tradition, very bad. And one of these groups was called the Moabites, an ethnic group. And when the famine came to Israel at this time, what happened? People were dying. We read in chapter 1, verse 1 of Ruth this. "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab," which was next to Israel. And that country of Moab was an enemy to Israel in many ways. And what happened when they went to that country? Naomi, the woman that went, with her husband Elimelech. And when they arrived, their two children, Mahlon and Chilion, married two Moabite women. That would have been unheard of, a scandal, not to be done. And so Naomi is there with her husband, her two children that now have new wives, and what happens? Tragedy comes. Her husband dies. Both her sons die. She is left alone with two daughters-in-law that are not Jewish. And she loves them. And yet she knows there is no future for them if they don't get married again. And there's no future for her because no one will take care of her. Naomi is alone. Devastation came into her life. Some of you here today have experienced devastation. I don't know if you've lost both children, lost a husband. Some of you have lost something, and it has hurt you terribly. The book of Ruth is for you. I encourage you to read it this week, and you will be encouraged by that wonderful book. Some of you are named Ruth. Ruth, here is named Ruth. It's funny. I went with my wife to Norfolk this week, and we visited the MacArthur Museum, General MacArthur. And his wife are buried there in a memorial. And I was just talking to Ruth. I said, you know, we visited the MacArthur Museum, and his wife is there. And she says, oh, I know her. I used to play music right next to her. She sat in front of me in my organ in the Philippines during World War II. Isn't that an amazing story? Has God been faithful, Ruth, through your life? Yes. Through the most difficult times, she's seen a lot. God has been faithful to her. But in chapter 1, verse 9, this is what Naomi says to her daughters-in-law. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. She cared for them. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. As at this, they wept aloud. Then Orpah, one woman, kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. The story is about Ruth and Naomi in this Old Testament account. Ruth resolved to stick by her mother-in-law and to have the faith of her mother-in-law. I think for us, it is a beautiful picture. And when we look at the book of Ruth, we see how God gently works in her life and brings hope. Sometimes we lose all of our friends in life. My wife's father is an elderly man. How old is he, Joe? She's not here. How much? How old? 86. And do you want to know what happens when you grow old? Charles is going to grow old. I'm going to grow old. All of our, if we live, if we have a good church or a good wife, maybe we will live long. And some of us, when we live to be 86 or 96, all of our friends die. You have no friends. You're lonely. But I want to tell you, if you are a lonely person and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will never be lonely because Christ is with you. He walks with you. He stands by you as your best friend. As a Christian, never has to be lonely. So the story of Ruth has Ruth and Naomi, but there's another person that comes into the picture. And this is the man Boaz. Boaz is a relative, a distant relative. And Ruth decides to return with Naomi to Israel, to Bethlehem, actually, where it's very peaceful. And that's where they live. So my first point this morning is this. Trust God, and He will work in your life like He did for Ruth. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, after they were there in Bethlehem, after they were working, Boaz gave Ruth the opportunity to work on the side of the field and gather food. But this is what Naomi said, my daughter, I must find a home for you. In Israel, a Moabite woman, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. In the Jewish law, there was a stipulation that if a woman loses a husband, a relative can choose to marry that woman. It's called the Levirate marriage. And Naomi wanted Ruth to find a husband. Not only was she happy that there was food, there was shelter, but she wanted Naomi to be redeemed. She wanted Naomi to have the full privileges of life as a woman in Israel, even though she was a Moabitess. She loved her daughter. I think that in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, there are so many examples of the love and the mercy of God coming to us when we don't deserve it. I think of the woman at the well. Jesus took time to spend with her and talk to her. I think of the blind beggar who was healed, Bartimaeus. The fishermen who were chosen by Jesus. I wonder what the GMAT score or the SAT score or the LSAT score was for the disciples of Jesus. These kind of things really didn't matter. Jesus knew their hearts and called them to be with him. According to the Bible, even Paul, who was crazy with killing Christians, was given hope and an opportunity to receive the mercy and the grace of God. He received it. In the Christian understanding, anyone who decides to follow Jesus Christ, no matter what they did, can receive mercy and hope in Christ. And so in the book of Ruth, we see this woman, this Moabitess. Moabites were enemies to the Israelites. And part of the reason was that many Moabite women were marrying Jewish men and were teaching the Jewish men to worship other gods. There was even a rule in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 23:6, that said, Jews are forbidden to marry Moabites, and Moabites are forbidden, not allowed, to come to worship with Jews because they were considered so evil and so bad. And yet, in this story, we have this Moabite woman who has joined with Naomi and has chosen to follow the one true God. Verse 16 tells us, but Ruth replied to her mom, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And where I will be buried, may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. That is commitment. And that is what we are called to do as Christians. If we choose to follow God, it has to be total commitment. And Ruth committed totally to following the Lord, the God of Naomi. It means surrender of your life. Look at your life. Are there areas where you still need to surrender to God? Are there? I challenge you to make that decision, to take those steps. I believe here in this community, there are young men and women who God is calling to follow him in some way, as pastors, as doctors, missionaries, evangelists. And you have to make the decision to take the steps to turn toward God. You have to make that decision. You have to talk to someone, a fellow Christian. But you have to follow the call of God if he's leading you some direction. Because that is where hope and that is where peace is. And that's where the future is. Secondly, choose the honorable road. This is a very fascinating text. This is what Naomi says to Ruth. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. It's very interesting. Some people say this is a very sexual, very seductive context, but in truth, it is not. In truth, it really fits the culture. And what Ruth was doing in obedience to her mom was really trying to take a step toward and show that she was available to Boaz. And Boaz responded with one of the most beautiful statements about the purity of Ruth. And I'm going to read it. It comes from the same chapter, verse 10 and 11. And this is what Boaz says to Ruth, because there were many other opportunities for her to find a husband. Many opportunities for her. But she knew what God wanted, and God wanted the best for her. And I say this also for those of you who are men and women here who are not married. You want to marry the best for you. And for a Christian, it is always to marry another Christian, where you both believe that you need to come together to marry. I am totally convinced that Christians should marry Christians. And if you're a Christian, you should never marry a non-Christian. I think that's very biblical. You should wait until God brings someone to you. Because if you marry a non-Christian, you will be in trouble. At one point, you will want your child to be baptized, and the spouse will say no. At one point, you will say, I think that's wrong. And your husband or wife will say, I think it's okay. You get into a lot of Christians when Christians marry, a lot of problems when Christians marry a non-Christian. Listen to Boaz talking to Ruth. You have not run after younger men. Now, Boaz was old, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. And the beautiful thing is that he chose to make her his wife, but it was difficult because he had to actually pay a fine. He had to pay a fee because of the arrangement. And so he also had to tell another person, are you going to marry her? And the other person had the first rights. He said no. And then Boaz would marry Ruth. Redeem Ruth. The third point is this. Rejoice in God's redemption. I've used this word redemption. It's an important word. It's a technical word. It's a theological word. What is the difference between salvation and redemption? As Christians, we believe we're saved. Right? That's what we believe. But redemption is a special word, because it means that you have been paid for. Salvation is fine. You know, I was driving, you know, down the street too fast, and the police officer stopped me and said, okay, I'll let you go. I'm saved, right? But if the police officer says, here's, you have to pay this $500 ticket, and I'm going to write it for you and pay. That's what redemption is. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for us. He took our punishment on his body for us. He redeemed us. So let me read verse 13 here from this chapter. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said, Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. I want to say that this love story is an amazing story. This Moabite woman who had no hope, no opportunity, it seemed, she is found in the lineage of Jesus. Because when you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, this is what we read. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David, the father of Solomon. And it continues into the lineage of Jesus Christ. Friends, with God, we have a bright future no matter what difficulty we face. If God wants to use you, He will use you. But you have to make the hard choice to choose to follow His leading and His direction, wherever that may be. And I know today there are many people here sitting. You don't know where God wants you to go, in the same way that Ruth did not know. But I'm going to offer you an opportunity today to make a statement of commitment to Christ, to God. If you are willing to go where God wants you to go, to be who God wants you to be, I want to invite you to simply, with your eyes closed, if you're willing to surrender to God, the living God, the creator of the universe, I'm not going to ask you to come up forward or anything, but I just want you to raise your hand as a sign that you want to commit your life to follow Jesus Christ, to follow wherever God would have you go. Just raise your hand. We'll spend a little time. You can just raise it and put it down. Okay, let us pray. Lord God, as we show our willingness to follow You, we believe that You will respond to that willingness and open the doors for us and to lead us and to guide us so that we may go where You want us to go, like Ruth. And sometimes we may have gone through difficult circumstances. Sometimes we may be in a tragic situation. That will never stop Your grace. That will never stop Your mercy, because You will open the doors for us. And You will lead us and You will guide us. And I know there are people here from all over the world, many different places. I know there are men and women that are recent immigrants, and they don't know what the future holds. But I want to reassure them and encourage them that if they stay faithful and true to You, You will open the door, You will make the way, and You will give them purpose and meaning like You did for Ruth. In Christ's name I pray, amen.